And you can download a few things from Bush Telly while you're at the RN website as well. One I could suggest would be our extensive coverage of Brumbies in the High Country that we aired last week. If you missed that, you can find it on podcast. Also, quite a long interview with Temple Grandin, who is world-renowned for her understanding of cattle behaviour. And she told us about some of her thoughts on the live export industry. So you can find them on the Bush Telly webpage. The days of backpackers earning extra cash by fruit picking could be numbered. It's expected robots will supersede working holiday makers within just a handful of years. Salah Sukaria is a professor of robotics and intelligent systems at the University of Sydney, and he joins me now to tell us more about this. Salah, welcome to Bush Telly. How are you?
Good, mate. Yes, thank you.
What have you developed so far? How far along are we in replacing backpackers with robots?
I think we've got to look at it probably in a broader context of what's happening internationally, because Australia has, you know, just started, I guess, in terms of understanding and figuring out whether or not they can use robots on the field. But around the world, there's been not only just research, but also commercialization in various applications of robotics on the field. We've got, for example, robotic strawberry harvesters, lettuce harvesters as well. There are systems out, for example, in the US for apple harvesting, as well as apple detection and yield monitoring on vehicles that have no drivers in them. They just move up and down along the rows.
So this is happening overseas right now?
Yeah, you know, wherever you see countries that are now being concerned about the cost of labour and agriculture kind of dominates, you're seeing this type of activity. So in Europe, and especially in the Netherlands, there's lots of work there in terms of developing robots and various other systems, intelligent systems, to be used on the farm.
The cost of labour has become a real issue in Australia from the grower's point of view in recent times. So I guess that's the impetus for more interest in robots here in Australia now.
That's right, cost of labour and also finding labour at the right time. So there's lots of pressures on the farm now related to time of harvesting. Mm. And with the lack of labour, as well as the cost of labour, they're also finding it hard in terms of finding the right people at the right time.
So if we have robots in our orchards in Australia in the next few years, what will they look like?
They're probably going to be extensions of the tractors that you might have already, because the tractors have been designed for so many years now to be able to operate on various types of orchards. So you probably find cabinless tractors, so you remove the cabin from them and you replace them with some computers and sensors, and they will be towing or pushing implements, which are also intelligent of some form. So you don't imagine that there would be things like humanoids, like the Honda SMO or the, what people would kind of see in terms of like a Terminator movie,
Yeah, or Dexter Off Perfect Match,
yeah,
not that
exactly,
sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's nothing like that.
Yeah.
They'll be what we call field robots. So they'll be machinery that probably already exists, but they've been mechanized and then automated in some form. So put some intelligence in them, that's in terms of computing power, some sensing, and you'll see these vehicles move around doing automatic spraying, detection of fruit, weed detection and removal, and eventually harvesting. And harvesting will be the most difficult, but eventually harvesting.
Now, harvesting, so you're going to have a robot then that knows what fruit is ready to pick and which fruit is not ready to pick?
That's right. So you've got to have the right sensors on board.
Yeah.
That can determine, say, the size of the piece of fruit, as well as its ripeness level. So that'll be the most difficult part.
Yeah.
Followed by some sort of mechanism that can reach out and harvest that fruit. And it's difficult because you're not going to be able to develop a manipulator of some sort that it has the dexterity of a human arm on that level. So there's lots of talk now about how one could change the tree architecture, so what the tree looks like, to make robots a lot easier in terms of being able to implement the robots on the farm and harvest the fruit.
So the picking technology, the robot technology, is dictating how we actually grow the trees now, potentially?
Potentially, because what's happening is that there's research out there now that's showing that by changing tree architecture, so going away from, say, your vase-like or your canopy-like kind of tree to something that grows on a trellis, you can actually improve yield and improve efficiency. So that's a separate research area. But what's happening is that by doing that, you're actually making the fruit more available to harvesting, much easier to harvest. So people who have actually grown trees on trellises now, say for example in the apple industry, they're finding that they're improving their labour efficiency by 20-30% during harvesting, and hence so there's a benefit just out of doing that. But also there's this benefit where if I look at it from a robotics perspective, I can go up and down the tree rows and the fruit are just there ready for me.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
That's not that radical, though, is it? Because we're already seeing citrus on trellis that's available in at nurseries around the country for more the urban setting, if you like, for people's back gardens. So it's just a bigger version of that.
Exactly right, exactly right. Now we're talking about whole orchards where they're just growing on trellises at particular angles that they think is optimal for sunlight and so forth. And we've taken our robot, for example, and we've gone to an almond farm, and we've also gone to an apple farm, and we've been able to determine how we can detect individual almonds as well as individual apples. And for example, I can see straight away now that the apple part would be much easier to harvest.
So that's one of the areas you think is might be the first industry to adopt something like this, the apple industry.
Yeah, because they've already done that in terms of you know, mass orchard size, they've already been able to do these trellis type of structures.
If you can, you mentioned earlier that it's the sensing when a fruit is ripe and its specifications is the tricky bit. But I imagine if you conquer that, surely a robot could be better than the human eye, couldn't it, for getting the right fruit off the tree at the right time?
You're exactly right. I mean, when the industry first approached me, the big thing they were saying was, you know, we want to take care of labour costs and labour availability, so we want to be able to deal with harvesting. And my and what I tried to keep hammering home was that actually it's what we call perception or autonomous or robotic perception. So how does a robot understand and perceive its environment, which is the hardest part, because it's, you know, when we go up and down the tree row, the things that we're doing is trying to identify where that fruit is, whether it's ripe before and when we go to touch it, you know, make sure how we hold it and touch it is we're not going to squash the fruit as we're going to, yeah, as we harvest it. And all those things are called robotic perception. So it's all about sensing and fusing of data from various sensors and so forth. And that is the hardest part. And so what we've been able to show is we can, you know, take this robot up and down the rows. And as we're going down the row, we can start to do yield count. We can actually detect, for example, apples and calculate how many, count how many apples there are, and at the same time measure soil properties so we can understand per tree why a certain tree has more apples than another tree based on what the ground properties are.
It's pretty high-end stuff, isn't it, to have all this information? Yeah. There's towns, though, like one that comes to mind, say Stanthorpe in Queensland, where the influx of backpackers is actually fairly important to the town overall. It supports the fruit industry, but it also supports a lot of the other businesses. Is there concern amongst some people that robots will really change the makeup of some rural towns?
There probably is from the backpackers' perspective. All I've been able to do is talk to the farmers, and from the farmers' perspective, they have big issues. You know, they're always fighting with how many people they can get on their farm at any particular point in time. The training processes they have to go through in and out because they don't get the same people every time through the season. Sometimes they'll have workers on their farm and partway through the harvesting process, half the workers will disappear and go to another farm. Mm. And so they have all these issues that they need to deal with on a continuous basis. But I think more importantly, though, the robotics or the automation of farm operations is not just in harvesting. These things are going to be of benefit to the farmer 24/7, 365 days a week in terms of being able to monitor their farm and understand their farm a lot better.
Robot doesn't take a smoko and sleep and all
right.
the rest.
That's right, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, there's weed detection, there's insect detection on the veggies, there's being able to spray individual crops as opposed to doing blanket spraying, and hence there's environmental benefits and so forth that come out of it.
Interesting stuff. Salah, all the best with it.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Salah Sugaria, who's Professor of Robotics and Intelligent Systems at the Australian Centre for Field Robotics, which is at the University of Sydney. Interesting, isn't it? This is Bush Telegraph. Cameron Wilson with you.